This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They're an arrogant, ingrown, close-knit brotherhood like the Mafia. They're the product of a sick society. To hell with tomorrow. Their bag is today. Their bag is right now.
Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Oh, the hair on my neck just straight up.
With Ben Higgins.
Thank God all these bottles I popped. All this paper I've been getting. All these models I popped.
Stephen Woods.
It's my job to pull that demon out of Ben Higgins, and I will do it.
And Paul Reindel.
Oh, my God.
It's Ben and Woods.
Oh, I do. It came to life,
on 97.3 The Fan.
My friends, Bennett Woods, 97.3, The Fan. No primal scream this morning from your old pal Woods, but very excited. Doesn't mean I'm not in a great mood. Loved winning that series yesterday. Put everybody in a fantastic mood, certainly. And you check that box and move on. And I'm looking at our boxes right now on YouTube, and I can't figure out where to put my camera that makes me look the best. It's bad angle for me. Also, like, I'm higher than you guys, so I don't really know what to do. You can watch us on YouTube as well. I'm just trying new things, experimenting, if you will. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I think your camera looks great.
Does
right
it?
There.
Okay, good. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. Thursday, throwback Thursday. Good to see you all, as always.
Masters Thursday as well.
It is, although they are they're a couple of hours delayed, at least, because of the rain.
I was the only one to celebrate. I wore my green sweatshirt on purpose. And let's say I get a little toasty. Need to take it off. Look at that. Green undershirt.
I don't think I have, like, Masters green. I have one piece of clothing that is actually qualifies as Masters green.
I love this, man. I love, love, love this. Got something for you guys. Wanted you to open it on the air. This is from my beloved wife, Hannah.
A gift.
It says, happy late anniversary, Ben Woods and Paul. Oh. Now, we had a discussion about this, and I thought we would talk about it on the air. So I'm going to let Ben open it, Paulie, but it's also for you.
Okay.
You know how, like, when you were little, let him open it, but it's for both of y'all.
The bag says Nike.
Yeah, fresh new cleats for you guys.
So it seems like a very Paul-esque gift. It's a Nike framed picture of us from our first pitch. Look at that. That is gorgeous.
Isn't that beautiful? Ben and Woods' first pitch.
Now, where are we going to hang it?
So, therein lies the...
Because
there's the rub. There's the rub. So, she goes, babe, look what I got for you. And I go, babe, that is so thoughtful. Thank you so much. It looks so cool.
That looks really good pictures of all of us.
Yeah. And I said, oh, that's so great. And she goes, well, I got one for you guys. And I said, oh, okay. She goes, I thought you could hang it in the studio. And right. I go,
that would make sense.
I go,
this is where we broadcast.
I go, but I don't, it's not just our studio. And she goes, so? And I go, I don't know. Like, do you think anyone will get mad if we hang it in
here?
Yes.
No.
See, I agree with Paulie. I thought,
I would say the majority of the people that are in the studio.
Do you think so? We get mad.
Yeah.
Like, who do they think they are?
Yeah.
I think so, too. You don't think that?
Well, I mean, other shows have put up like the buzzer beater shot. Chris Ello put that headline, I believe.
The no hitter.
Yeah,
I mean,
nope, we put all those up.
Yeah,
we did. We put up that one too.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I thought they put that one
put up.
Up.
Happy birthday, Ben.
Yeah, the Ben, you do a great job over there.
Somebody did. Oh, did they? We still have that?
Yeah, it's still up there.
Okay.
Yeah. Pound Town. I mean, we tried to add a little spice to the studio.
I mean, if we didn't add those, there would be nothing.
It would be bare.
Here.
It would be.
So I guess
our
the
Manny Machado best friends contract.
Oh, I bet they
the Sarah Lang star.
Yeah.
If we're going to be on YouTube, I think we need to add as much flair and color as possible to our studio environment. I guess the issue is that every show did that. We'd either have a big jumble of all three shows with a bunch of different stuff that are completely unrelated because they're the three different shows, or we'd all have to take it all out at the end of every show and then reset it up for every show in the like 4 minutes in between shows every single time, which that would be a real drag if we had to reset the entire studio every time.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. But you remember when we started here? Remember the helmets? There was a Chargers helmet. There was a...
It was just a Chargers helmet.
There were two, I thought.
Maybe there wasn't an Aztecs helmet?
No, there was not an Aztecs. Okay. It was a Chargers helmet.
And it was autographed by LT.
LT. It would sit right in the middle of the thing. And I'm like, I don't want to look at this every day. I don't know whose it was. Was it Cilio's?
No.
Tony's?
I don't want to... I think I know whose it was, and I don't even want to say it. He's not a... I don't like him, so I don't even want to...
I don't like him.
You know who I'm talking about.
Turn the mics off. Oh, that load?
Yeah.
Oh, it was his. I should have taken a dump in it.
I was at least told.
Put it back on his desk.
Because you removed it from the studio every morning for a while.
That turd.
And it showed up every day still.
I would take it out silently.
And I was told that he was the one that kept bringing it in here.
I just would take it and like put it back in the back because I didn't want it in here. And he would bring it back and put it in. I did not like him, and he did not like me.
Yeah, he sucks.
I should have taken a huge dump in it and put it back on his desk and said, here, there's your helmet.
I could be wrong, but I was told it was his.
Okay. Well, listen, I
when we started, no, the Chargers weren't still here. They were already gone.
No,
they were gone. Yeah, they were long gone.
Diesel says Chris Ello was having fun with Ben's cutout last week. I didn't know that.
I know Craig was having trouble with it because his camera kept focusing on me. Instead of him, and that was frustrating during the show.
Like it kept moving,
again,
to, your
moving
face.
To my face.
Another thing that we put in the studio.
Yes, 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 yes.
I promise
yes.
you. I would say there's only like I can only think of like two people that wouldn't have a problem if we started just hanging all of our crap up in here.
It's even a more really, than we already do. It's a really beautiful.
It looks great, but I know that would be a problem.
My wife says I did not say that's thoughtful or thank you. Maybe I didn't, but I'm saying it now. I'm saying it now. That was very thoughtful, and thank you.
Incredibly so.
And it looks really cool. All right. Well, I mean, if you guys think, Ben, you think we should?
I think we have to hang it up
okay.
in here. Well, it wouldn't be fair to me if Paul took it home, and it wouldn't be fair to Paul if
Correct.
I took it home. So
yeah, she made one for
I mean,
our
I have
family.
All the pictures, too, if you want.
We
you
really have
I just,
no.
I just think it's going to get removed before the end of the day.
I don't think so. I mean, our picture of, you know, me
or they'll
working
be talking
and,
bad about you behind your back.
There's been pictures of us that have remained for longer than a really nice one. I don't think anyone's going to mess with such a nice framed photograph like that.
Okay. All right. I think we put it up then, and it looks really good, and it was a really cool moment for us and the station as well. It was 97.3 The Fan Poncho Night. Great marketing for us, for the station. A lot of little kids running around, 97.3 on the shoulder. Those ponchos really, really looked cool.
Plus, it'll be cool someday, hopefully long into the future, when we're escorted out of the building with a big box.
Yes.
To have some cool things to put
in the box.
Box.
Yeah.
When we're fired, and they say you have to take your personal belongings and leave the premises. That'll be one of our personal belongings that we can take.
I was getting the kids ready for bath last night, and they watched the YouTube feed in the morning, and Paulie has added some new highlights,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Taylor says to me, that was funny when you put your nuts on Ben's face. And I go, no, when Ben put his nuts on your face. And I go, no, buddy. No.
What?
I said, those were my nuts on Ben's face. That's that you got it flipped. And when I was spotting Ben and did that, he thinks that is just the height of comedy. Much like his old man, actually. I think that
it's pretty funny.
Pretty funny, man. The funniest thing of all time. He did also tell his class, his 3-year-old class, "My mom's going to come here. She's going to punch everybody in the balls," is a quote. And the kids got upset.
So was that not true, then?
That is not true.
Hannah was not planning many class visits for...
Many of them don't have balls, right? but he told everyone in his class that. And Hannah's like, and I was like, we've never said we're going to punch anybody in the balls. Especially her.
Especially young children.
Young children? Yeah, I go, holy cow. The imagination on these people are on these little...
It'd be sad if some of the young kids like were worried that
one
that
of
was
them
going
was.
To happen.
Yeah, because my wife is so... She's in the class all the time and helping out, and they love her, and they were really affected by the fact that now she's going to come in and punch you in the balls. And I guess one of the little girls started really crying, and Miss Maddie had to tell her, "You don't have balls. It's okay." And she's not going to do that anyway.
That's
so.
Why you don't have to worry.
So good, dude. So good. The thing, Miss Maddie grabbed Hannah and goes, "One day, after this is all over, I want to take you and Steven to dinner, and I want to hear all the stories of Taylor and Beau." And I go, I mean, it's you've seen them. I mean, they've been under your care since they were 2 years old, you know, like both of them. I said, "You've seen more than we have," but it was outstanding. It was, Stella was her name. Poor little Stella. She was very disturbed to find out she did not have balls and she was going to get punched in them. So that's what we were dealing with at the house. I was like, "That's funny, Dada. Ben put his nuts on your face." No, it was my nuts on Ben's face. You got to get it right. You got to be accurate. So it never a dull moment. Did you guys like the 3:40 start time yesterday?
I was going to bring that up in the roundtable this morning.
Well,
the roundtable. This is our show.
This is our show.
And I'll say, I thought it was
more... You know what?
Let's
just not even talk about the game. Let's just save it for the roundtable.
I thought it was more of a one-off because of the Cubs and having to leave town.
It wasn't.
But there's like five more of the 3:40s. And I saw in the UT that Padres management said... They feel like they want school kids to be able to, while school is still in session, to come after the game. That if they make it at, 1:10, kids at school can't go to the game because they're, still in school.
So, like, all the summer games will still be 1:10?
Well, there are still a couple of 3:40s as well for consistency.
I thought it should be like April, May, maybe some of June, and then September. That's where all the 3:40 starts.
But there's definitely the majority of them are before and after school is out.
Got it.
So you can make it to the game and still theoretically go to an entire school day.
So what they did not consider is this. Some of the parents that then have to watch the game at home, maybe for their jobs, with two kids that are out of school. And usually it's
really inconsiderate.
Fair, massively.
For whoever, massively. All the thousands of people that this applies to.
Paulie, I trying to watch that game yesterday with those lunatics fresh out of school, screaming at each other, fighting, crying, wafting in from the next room. I was like, I should have just gone to the game. I should have just gone and sat in the press box, which I hate doing. My house was like a war zone yesterday while the game was going on. And but I did. How great was it? Game wraps up. You're like, all right, I had, plenty of time for bath time. We did extra long story time. The whole bit, it was great. Like you had your night back a little bit.
I think competitively now Padres ended up scoring 10 runs. Yeah. But the shadows of the towers, they go right across the mound. That's got to be. And I know Don and Mud pointed it out a few times. That has to be difficult. It's already so hard to hit a Major League Baseball. Ooh. And you throw in the fact it's coming from the sunlight to the shadow, back to the sunlight in 60 feet and 6 inches, to me is not the best case scenario for a Major League Baseball game. But, when you get to the playoffs, you oftentimes have to play in those weird slots with the weird shadows. So, perhaps it's a good idea to at least have a few of them during the regular season so you get used to it in case you do get that opportunity to play one of those games in October at a weird start time.
Yeah, man. It was, the way it wrapped up was fantastic. Obviously, the result was phenomenal. You took your series, your first series of the year. You needed it so bad. And I was pretty fired up. It was nice, man. It was nice to not really stress over the game. You know, it was great. I mean, the way they added on and all that. So we'll get into all of that. A couple of things to be concerned about, I think, but you know, nothing major after yesterday's win.
Before we go to break, just another one last update on the studio decor.
Yes.
You know, we have a lot of very blank walls. Still a lot of real estate in this studio. Our buddy Brian Sims reached out. He says all the shows should hang things on the wall.
Yeah.
Opinion from a very biased dude who takes a lot of pictures. He's a great photographer.
Phenomenal.
He's come out to some of our games and taken some photos of us. Maybe we should just plaster the studio with framed photos of the three of us.
As many as possible.
Since Ben doesn't think anyone would care,
see how that goes.
We just put like 100 framed photos. I think it'd be a great bit.
Would we care if the other shows put some stuff?
No, I would like it.
I feel like
it.
I feel like I would be really happy if Tony and Chris wanted to put some pictures of themselves up. If Annie and Elston and Braden had pictures, I'm okay with that. I think a decorated studio, if we're going to be on camera, the more decorated, the better. You see some of those shows now, they got tchotchkes and everything all over the place.
Dan Patrick's is too busy.
Okay, that one is really busy.
Dude, he needs to clean it up.
But we could use a little bit more.
Heads behind
I think it's a good idea.
Let's use a little bit more.
Spruce it up a little bit, man. Spruce it up a little bit. Let's get into, we'll set the menu next. We did have an unfortunate cancellation this morning. Man. Dallas Braden texted us. He was supposed to come on at 7:30.
Had we teased that he was coming on?
Yeah,
we tweeted it last night.
Yeah, so he was going to come on. Now he's not. Sorry. I really was looking forward to him. He has been, I think he's been brilliant throughout the A's situation, which is a very tough position for him to be in. And his work that he's done on the pitching injuries has been top notch. He is a phenomenal
guy. He owes us now. So.
Correct.
It's not usually how
in
it works.
Our debt that we could ask him to do anything.
I know you like to
point.
Think that that's how it works. It's not how it works.
Not how it works. All right, we'll set the menu when we come back and then get into yesterday's 10-2 win over the Chicago Cubs.
You want to scream a primal scream?
Yeah!
No.
I think you're actually just supposed to win series.
Okay. Well, so, it's been requested.
You're not supposed to come back from 8-0 so you can primal scream that one. You take 2 out of 3 at home, you're just supposed to do that, actually.
Okay. Had to get it out anyway.
All right. Coming up next, let's get our first check of traffic with Kelly, and off we go until 10 o'clock in our roundtable from 10 to 11 this morning on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Are you excited that the announcement came out, Ben, that Nine Inch Nails is going to put out a new record?
Big Nin guy.
Mm-hmm. You have 100% seen that shirt before and thought, oh, Nin. I wonder what that is.
Nin.
Right?
Yeah. One of the N's is backwards, which is weird. But
you know a lot more about it than I thought you would, so I'm actually quite impressed. That is probably the thing I'm most thankful for the pandemic, that and my son being born.
So they're coming out with a new album.
Yeah, but I didn't really.
Who's their lead singer?
Trent Reznor.
Trent Reznor.
I missed the Nine Inch Nails wave when I was younger. I just missed it. I was weird. Like, I just missed some really good music. Pandemic happened, and I listened to a podcast, and I just got way... The pandemic was weird. I got way into music I'd never really listened to, and now I'm, like, fanboy out of your mind. Like, I'm obsessed with it, and I just saw he's coming out with a new record, and it could not come at a better time.
So this is this actually fascinated me. Maybe it was better in foreplay, but I'll bring it up here before we set the menu. You tweeted out, you responded to someone who wanted album covers that represent how you're feeling about the Padres.
Yes.
And, oh, this is right up Woods' alley.
Oh, I love this.
This is right up Woods' alley. You know, I would like to see more
okay
posts from Woods on album covers that represent how you're feeling about the Padres. That, yeah, you don't have to do it every game, but given the mile markers throughout the season would be fine.
So I did the Pink Floyd scream the other night after the loss, and it just worked perfectly. And then I did the settling in for some Padres baseball, the Scorpions album, where there's forks covering his eyes. So, and then, of course, after the win, you saw the one I tweeted, Manowar Anthology, just four buff dudes all oiled up in Speedos, essentially, because I was feeling good. Boys played really well yesterday.
Yep, Padres have some buff dudes right now. We will talk about the game coming up here in our Padres wrap-up. That is in our next segment, just a few minutes away. And there's definitely mostly good, obviously, to talk about, but I think we want to get into kind of what's been going on with Ha-Sung Kim and some of the other issues with the San Diego Padres as well. So get into that in our first hour of the show. It is a Throwback Thursday, which means we'll play a little Real or Fake today. Love that we mix that in, because if you don't feel like you can challenge Woods on musical trivia, which...
You're an idiot, because I've been getting my ass kicked lately.
Yeah, but
so.
It's tough, though. Some people just don't have that kind of knowledge. Real or Fake is for everybody, and it'll be an opportunity to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas coming up at 7:10. Yeah, don't do this at 7:20. If you missed it last night, some more news broke on the Shohei Ohtani interpreter gambling scandal / investigation. It appears that Ipe Mizuhara is close to pleading guilty already in a federal investigation. Like, he's just copping to it and going, yep, you got me. And he is going to take the responsibility for stealing millions, maybe more than the $4.5 million even that was originally reported.
Yeah. Oh,
the New York Times says that the actual number could be higher, maybe even significantly higher than $4.5 million. And the detail that was really fascinating is they said he got access to Shohei's account and changed his notifications so that Shohei would not be notified when money was being moved in his account. And that is presumably how he was able to get away with it for as long as he did.
A couple of years this thing went on, right?
A year and a half or so, I think, is the timeline. And I'm sure as the investigation continues, and if there is a guilty plea coming up, it'll come with a detailed confession of the particulars of the crime and what happened. But the bottom line here is, and we can discuss this, but if you believe this story, Shohei's pretty much off the hook in terms of any wrongdoing whatsoever. He's just the victim in this case. That's what, according to ESPN's reporting, sources close to the investigation have determined or have basically said Shohei has done nothing wrong. He was simply an unwitting victim of his interpreter, and there is no cause for any investigation into Shohei Ohtani in this situation, which is probably, if you're Major League Baseball and you're the Dodgers, certainly the best possible outcome to what was going to be a very sticky situation for them.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about it, what, 7:30?
7:35, okay. Yeah.
Sounds like you guys just talked about it.
No, I mean, I think there's more to get into, but I just wanted to kind of get that on the table early with what came out. That was fairly late last night, so I thought maybe some people had missed that. Second half of the show, it is a Smart Baseball Thursday. Eno Saris will join us from The Athletic for our super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment, and catch up with Eno as we do each and every Thursday. Ryan will report in our 9 o'clock hour. No game today, but we do have our roundtable that will be from 10 to 11. I've been told we'll have a full house today.
Is that right?
With everybody in studio, which means someone's going to have to go sit on Braden's lap and use that microphone as well. I'd hold your ground if I were you.
That's what I was just going to ask you.
Hold your ground when they all arrive and keep your seat.
So I'm here 6 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Then Annie takes over in this spot with this computer. She has a 3-hour show to do after the round table. Is it gentlemanly of me to get up and move? Is that expected of me? Is it?
Would it be gentlemanly of me to get up and move for Craig, though?
Are you going to?
No.
Oh.
I'm sitting here. I'm moderating the roundtable. I would like to remain in my seat while that happens.
I don't think you should be pressured or anyone's expecting it. I do think it would be a nice thing to do.
Classy move. Because she needs to log in. She needs to be ready for her show.
Coming up. You're done.
I do have a lot. I've gotten people busting my balls. Oh, Woodsy, look at him. He's so ready to get out of there. I learned this early on in radio. You got to clean out. You got to get out. Trust me, I wouldn't want somebody in here playing grab ass if we were trying to get ready for our show. So I try to get my stuff ready and get the hell out of here. Let them do their show. Savvy, so I will. I'm going to move.
Savvy listeners may have noticed that on the last segment of our show, we actually now get out a couple of minutes earlier.
Yeah.
Just because there wasn't enough time to do that changeover really efficiently.
Right. Yeah.
But in the roundtable, we don't get out earlier. We get out at the normal time, which means there's a really short window between the end of the roundtable and the start of the Annie and Elston show. So in that sense,
I'm going to move.
Maybe it is nice if you do move out of the way.
With the addition of cameras and lights and all that, it's like, all right, we need more than 3 minutes.
I'll slide over.
Now, would you do it if Annie was a guy? Are you doing? Is this a female? Like, I want to be a gentlemanly sort. I'll be honest with you.
It's probably a little of both.
Is that misogynist or the opposite? I think you're doing it just because it's a woman.
I think it's opposite. I'm just trying to be a kind, good teammate.
If Annie sat here and Craig sat there and he took your seat every day, you wouldn't give it up for him for the round table? Or you would?
I might, actually. Okay. I might.
Would you do it for Annie?
The seat if you had the midday show?
Yeah. I probably would.
There you go.
I probably will.
There's your answer.
Yeah. I want to be where I'm, so when we hit the ground running, I'm ready to go. You should actually move, too.
I don't feel like I should feel bad for not moving.
You should. Kind of a piece of ass if you don't.
Yeah. You're going to make Woods do it and you don't have to move?
Yeah, but I have more in terms of setup for my notes as the moderator of the round table.
You're more important.
You can't moderate from that chair? Is that the moderator's chair?
No, I don't think
chair?
I can.
It's Ben,
I think
dude.
I would be out of sorts and out of my comfort zone if I tried
Benny
to move.
That's why I love him, because he's like, no, not moving. Sorry.
And you're the diva.
I'm the diva.
Around this building.
That's right.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm simply trying to make the show sound as good as possible. And I think it does if I'm sitting here in this chair and not moving over to the middle. See, like here, I can see all of the
people I'm talking to.
You can see everybody from right there.
Right in the middle. He likes to lord over everyone.
If I'm
in the middle, then I've got to be going left, right, left, right.
But you don't here, mess with I the can, moderator.
I can see everybody. If anyone wants to jump in with a point, I have a good
right
vantage
here
point.
In this chair next to me.
James says,
"See everybody."
I like my seat. I'm going to move. I'm definitely going to move because she needs to get logged in, and I'll move over there.
Craig's going to kick your ass.
It's going to be a locker room in here. There's going to be like 7 people in this little studio. Oh, fun. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to give it to you.
Sharing microphones.
Oh, no.
All right. No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Well, Braden will not have the mic. Someone will be sitting with Braden, but Braden won't be able to speak.
Okay.
There'll be 6 hosts and Braden, but someone's going to be sitting with Braden over there.
Okay.
2 chairs in your spot, Paulie. 1 with a microphone kind of to the side on the left, 1 where Braden will just sit in front of the board.
We're getting in the weeds.
Yeah. So bummed I have to miss that.
All right, we're in the weeds. Let's get into the game. We got our Padres wrap up. Coming up next, a nice, victorious Wednesday at Petco Park. We'll discuss it when we return with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fam. Padres win a series for the first time in 2024. We've got all the highlights from Jesse and Tony, and we'll get to those right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
I love winning, man. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
No balls, 1 strike. Pitch to Camposano. Off the handle, floated into left field. That's down for a base hit. Profar got a great read. He's going to come in and score. Padres take a 1-0 lead in the second on an RBI single from Luis Camposano. Hendricks, after a slight delay, delivers, and Merrill rolls it to second base. Mastroboni has it. Long way to second for 1. That's all they'll get. So an RBI fielder's choice for Jackson Merrill. And a 2-0 Padre lead. 2 balls and 2 strikes now. Here's the pitch. And Bush hits it in the air to deep right field. Fernando's going back. He's looking up. This one's going to go. 2-run home run, Michael Bush. Manny at first, nobody out. He runs on 3-2. Profar lines it into right center base hit. Manny's on his way to third, going to have a chance to score. Ball rolls all the way to the base of the wall. Machado's headed home. Profar's headed to third. The relay, the tag, he is out at third. RBI double jerks in Profar has put the Padres back in front 3-2, but out. Trying to stretch it into a triple. Here's the 1-1. Camposano chopper to short. Swanson backhands it. Only plays to first. Throws in time. And an RBI ground out for Camposano. Kim trots home and a 4-2 Padre lead. As Cronenworth launches this one in the air. Deep down the right field line. Fair foul. Good news. Fair ball and a home run. Jake Cronenworth pulls his second homer of the year down the right field line, and the Padres add on. It's 5-2. First nobody out. Profar swings at the 0-1. Skies it to deep right field. Suzuki is back at the porch. Looking up. Gonna go! Second of the inning for the Pods. Third hit of the day for Profar. Just like that, it's 7-2. Jake swings, hits it on the ground left side. That's through in the left field. And a base hit. Bogart's rounding third on his way. He's going to score. Tatis speeds into third base. An RBI single for Jake Cronenworth. And the Padre lead is now 8-2. Here's the 0-2. Zokar hits it on the ground through the right side. Base hit. Tatis on to score. Cronenworth advances to second. 9-2 San Diego. As Jose Zokar collects an RBI single in his first at bat of the day. De Los Santos delivers, and a ground ball to third. Backhanded by Rosario. Long throw to first is perfect, and the ball game is over. Padres win their first series of 2024 as they take 2 out of 3 from the Cubs, and they take this one with an emphasis. 10-2 over the Cubs here this afternoon. Dylan Cease, brilliant in 6 innings for the Pods.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's important to win series, right? That's how you do it. You know, we talk about getting better as the game goes, series goes. An indication of getting better as the series goes is winning series. So it's important we're able to do that.
Very important.
Lots to like about that game yesterday. And I think we start with Dylan Cease, who has had 3 good starts in a row. But this one was exceptionally good. 6 innings. 2 hits, 2 runs. They were unearned. 7 strikeouts to earn his first victory as a Padres pitcher. And he had the kind of stuff that you see from guys who flirt with no-hitters.
Yeah.
Didn't end up getting one. Obviously, the error on Ha-Sung Kim that extended the 4th inning and led to the Michael Bush home run. Part of that's on Dylan Cease. You know, you got to be able to react when something bad happens behind you, but the offense then completely picked up Ha-Sung Kim and Dylan Cease and responded by retaking the lead and never relinquishing it as the Padres went on to that 10-2 win. But Dylan Cease, I think filthy was the word that Mike Schilt used after the game.
He was absolutely filthy. It's weird for me to look down to have a guy in a San Diego Padres uniform that's touching 99.6 miles an hour and averaging 97 miles an hour on his fastball. His breaking stuff was sharp. He was nasty. He mixed it up so well yesterday and throwing a cutter now too. And I mean, he's got a really good arsenal. In fact, I watched that game yesterday and went, God, I would have liked to have seen him against the Dodgers and see what he can do. And he'll get his chance. There's no doubt about it. He will get his chance against the Dodgers. But he was filthy.
That's the kind of game you went and got him for.
100%. And he
not a must win, but you wanted to win that series.
Yeah, he was great. He was phenomenal yesterday. And the offense picking up Ha-Sung Kim. That's what good teams do. An error shouldn't end your day. It just shouldn't end your day. And it felt like it. Kimmy was real upset. You could tell, kind of slumped his shoulders, put his head down. Dylan gives up the home run. You know, Dylan knows that's on him. He's got to make a better pitch there. But he also knows, man, I should have been out of that inning. I should have been out of that inning. The umpire also butchered a strike 3, but that's beside
the
point.
Right before the home run.
You still got
the knees, lit up, did not get the call, and the next pitch was the 2-run home run.
You still got to make a pitch, but they came out and they punched right back, and that was encouraging. It was encouraging, and for every part of 2023, the 2023 Padres, we still see in this team a little bit from time to time. There is some new that's kind of adding on, Ben, and starting to maybe push some of that aside. Now, again, I wish that I, as a fan, and I'm not speaking for everyone, I wish that I, as a fan, could judge just a series, you know, just say, well, But we can't really do that in this job. Say, let's talk about it after the series is over and react. That's really how you have to do it. Like Mike Schilt just said, you got to take it series by series. How did this series look? Well, two of our starting pitchers were terrible. One of them was really brilliant. How was our defense? Our defense wasn't that great. Okay, how was our offense? Our offense responded. We scored some runs.
I like the fact we were able to manufacture early.
Yes, I like that, Mike Schilt. I like that a lot.
I like the way the game was played.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Put him on. Put him in the queue. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they go in and pick up Kenny when he's clearly scuffling right now.
A little credit as well. Dylan Cease already came to the Padres as a polished product and an ace from the White Sox, but he's added that pitch officially, that sweeper's in there, and give Ruben Nieblas some credit for maximizing Dylan Cease here early in the season. He even threw he calls it his palate cleanser, 60,
his
like
troll ball,
3-mile-an-hour changeup. Yes, his troll ball. Not something that you're trying to get anyone out with necessarily, just trying to like throw another seed of doubt into the mind of the hitter as to is there any chance that he's going to throw this to me right here? And if you're thinking that, then you're probably not thinking about what you need to be thinking about. Here comes a nasty fastball or a knuckle curve or a sweeper or something else from Dylan Cease that will get you out. So.
And you'd be massively remiss to not mention the day that Jerickson Profar had. 3-for-3, home run, double, 2 runs scored.
Our beloved.
3 ribs for Jerickson Profar, who loves playing here, thrives whilst in San Diego, plays so far above, you know, his career numbers when he plays here.
So he's not a career 1,012 OPS
right.
guy? Okay.
It is awesome to see. It's awesome. It's awesome. There's something about playing for the San Diego Padres that Jerickson Profar really loves. Now, you know, guys with track records, good, bad, middle, whatever, they usually regress to the mean. But for Jerickson, you just ride this wave with him for as long as you can. And, I saw a lot of people yesterday saying, you know, we don't need another bat. No, we still need another bat. I don't know that
we need another arm.
I don't know that his hot streak started the season. I don't know that it'll continue. It's pretty torrid right now. But, I mean, he's getting extra base hits. He's slugging on a team with very little slug right now. That's what you're paying that guy $1 million. Can we give him a raise? Because he absolutely deserves one for the first
Well, he had some incentives in his deal.
He does.
Which, if he continues to play like this, he's going to need all of them, which I don't know. I assume that impacts your luxury tax level as well. Met incentives will count against the luxury tax. So, you know, all these things that AJ Preller probably has to think about is he's considering whether or not to sign another bat. Saw some people, you don't need Tommy Pham now. You've got a starting left fielder. And I wouldn't take Jerickson Profar out of the lineup, that's for sure.
No.
Now, you still need another bat, though. And it could be Tommy Pham. You need a designated hitter when Manny gets back into the field. But it could also be Brandon Belt if you're feeling good about Jerickson Profar in the outfield,
yep.
then you don't have to necessarily make it an outfielder for that next bat, which gives you more flexibility with the way Jerickson has played so far this year.
He's been great, and I'm already seeing it in the chat. You're not moving Xander Bogaerts back to short, I don't think. I don't think that's something that you do. And I think all that does is shatter the confidence. I think you've committed to this move. Look, Ha-Sung Kim.
This is not an experiment.
It's not an experiment.
Kim at short.
He's not some.
The experiment's actually Xander at second.
Yes. Correct.
And that's gone pretty well so far, actually.
It's been fine.
Yeah,
it's been fine. You don't knee-jerk this thing, though.
No.
And slide Xander back. Now, if Kim needs a day off, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Put Xander at short, right? He has the ability to do that. But I don't think you knee-jerk it a couple weeks into the season. Ha-Sung Kim is the better defender. I know that he's booting it right now. I know that he's a little bit yippy right now. He is the better defender. There's no doubt about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And that's not an eye
test
thing.
It's not up for debate. He's a better defender.
That's 3 years of metrics, seeing what he's done. He's played an awful lot of shortstop during his time here with the Padres. Everybody in baseball who knows baseball will just agree. And it's not a knock on Xander.
Not at
it's
all.
Simply Ha-Sung Kim is the better defender. Now, just like great offensive players will have a slump, great defensive players will sometimes go through a bit of a slump. And clearly, Ha-Sung Kim is just, as you said, a little yippy.
A little yippy.
You know, had one bad throw that turned into another throw. Mike Schilt actually, he said, I don't want to make excuses, and then proceeded to make about seven of them on the Ha-Sung Kim error yesterday. Well, there's the shadows. I think it hit a seam. It was 109 miles an hour. It took a weird hop. It's that was not an easy play.
Right.
In fact, I think he's in a good place defensively. You know, listen, the one ball just got away from him, happens periodically. The other one was kind of a weird play. He's trying to come in and catch the ball and tag him before the guy scores. And, you know, so I don't really, you know, think too much about that one relative to, like, defense. And today that ball was hit with some pace, and it was like that second hop. It kind of maybe, I don't know if it had a seam. I don't know. He maybe tell you, but it just kind of kicked a little bit on him. I don't know. I don't want to make excuses for him, but that was a tricky play. Ball hit hard. Got, you know, some of the shade taking place, the shadows, and then it like looks like it took like a different hop, and sometimes that second hop will kick on you a little bit. So anyway, I have zero concern about Ha-Sung Kim defensively.
Because of the position of the moon and the eclipse earlier in the week, that may have affected the gravitational pull on that baseball. Really, you can't really charge Ha-Sung Kim with an error, at least a meaningful error there.
No, he's going to be fine at short. I still feel confident putting him out there. And look, that game, had we not come back and picked him up, which is, again, what a good team does, it would have sucked. It would have sucked, and it would have been the second game in about 5 days that, you know, you feel like could have gone different if Ha-Sung Kim makes a play. But it's so hard for me to bag on that guy. It really is. Like, I know he's struggling with the bat. I know he's struggling with the glove. Why are you defending a guy that's struggling with the bat and the glove? Because I watch him play every day, and I know how much he cares. Now, if he was Cadillac-ing it and he looked like he didn't give an F, I'd have a bigger problem with it. He's good. He's going to be fine. Like, he has gotten better every single year since he's been here. That's all you can ask from a player. And I just, the knee jerk of, oh, just move Xander back to short. No, they move Xander off short for a reason. Why? Because Ha-Sung Kim's a better shortstop. And I think he's going to get it figured out. If I'm wrong, I'll wear it. I don't care. I mean, I think it's a pretty safe bet. You know, you put your best defender there. He's just having a bad stretch right now.
By the way, still went 2-for-4, right, had a triple, stole his fourth base of the season, got some praise from Mike Schilt for the heads-up stolen base that did lead immediately to Jackson Merrill's RBI fielder's choice ground out. That's a stolen run, essentially, for the San Diego Padres. Yep. So even when he's not playing well, you feel like Ha-Sung Kim is still doing some things that are hopefully helping your team win. But, yeah, good production. Manny definitely looks like he's coming back into being Manny again. The swings that he's taken, another two hits yesterday.
4 for his last 9.
Yeah, it's just the last couple of games he's definitely looked more Manny-like for sure.
Yeah, no question. And we need that. And we need that this series, you know, going up to L.A. against the Dodgers. Manny, we need Manny. We need our cleanup hitter to clean up. And just really encouraged by a couple of the guys on the squad, obviously Jerks and Profar. That little lineup flip has been pretty good for him. Jay Cronenworth continues to
It's amazing
to
how
be
that
great.
Can happen.
Yeah.
Just a little tweak in the lineup.
Yep. And so I think you ride with that. And, you know, again, I think Adam Jones said it yesterday. Once Manny gets back to third, feels like he can contribute in other ways, I think it's going to be beneficial to him. So, again, tread water, tread water, tread water. That's kind of what we're doing right now. Still interested in them adding another piece, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about it on the roundtable today, too, and probably more on this show.
All right, we'll come back. Got a couple more thoughts on the game from yesterday, including a statistical, I think, oddity that I'm not sure how rare this is, but something that was pulled off by one of the Padres yesterday. And then we'll play a little real or fake, chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas, all coming up in our next segment, hour number two of Ben and Woods on the way. Next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Padres win a series for the first time in 2024. We've got all the highlights from Jesse and Tony, and we'll get to those right after a check of traffic here at 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage.
No balls, one strike. Pitch to Camposano off the handle, floated into left field. That's down for a base hit. Profar got a great read. He's going to come in and score. Padres take a 1-0 lead in the second on an RBI single from Luis Camposano. Hendricks, after a slight delay, delivers, and Merrill rolls it to second base. Mastroboni has it. Long way to second for one. That's all they'll get. So an RBI fielder's choice for Jackson Merrill, and a 2-0 Padre lead. Two balls and two strikes now. Here's the pitch. And Bush hits it in the air to deep right field. Fernando's going back. He's looking up. This one's going to go. Two-run home run, Michael Bush. Manny at first, nobody out. He runs on 3-2. Profar lines it into right center base hit. Manny's on his way to third. Going to have a chance to score. Ball rolls all the way to the base of the wall. Machado's headed home. Profar's headed to third. The relay, the tag. He is out at third. RBI double. Jerkson Profar has put the Padres back in front 3-2, but out. Trying to stretch it into a triple. Here's the 1-1. Camposano chopper to short. Swanson backhands it. Only plays to first. Throws in time. And an RBI ground out for Camposano. Kim trots home and a 4-2 Padre lead. As Cronenworth launches this one in the air. Deep down the right field line. Fair foul. Good news. Fair ball and a home run. Jake Cronenworth pulls his second homer of the year down the right field line, and the Padres add on. It's 5-2. First, nobody out. Profar swings at the 0-1, skies it to deep right field. Suzuki is back at the porch, looking up, gonna go! Second of the inning for the Pods. Third hit of the day for Profar. Just like that, it's 7-2. Jake swings, hits it on the ground left side. That's through in the left field, and a base hit. Bogart's rounding third on his way. He's going to score. Tatis speeds into third base. An RBI single for Jake Cronenworth, and the Padre lead is now 8-2. Here's the 0-2. Zokar hits it on the ground through the right side. Base hit. Tatis on the score. Cronenworth advances to second. 9-2 San Diego, as Jose Zokar collects an RBI single in his first at-bat of the day. De Los Santos delivers, and a ground ball to third. Backhanded by Rosario. Long throw to first is perfect, and the ball game is over. Padres win their first series of 2024 as they take 2 out of 3 from the Cubs, and they take this one with an emphasis. 10-2 over the Cubs here this afternoon. Dylan Cease, brilliant in 6 innings for the Pods.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's important to win series, right? That's how you do it. You know, we talk about getting better as the game goes, series goes. An indication of getting better as the series goes is winning series. So it's important we're able to do that.
Very important.
Lots to like about that game yesterday. And I think we start with Dylan Cease, who has had 3 good starts in a row. But this one was exceptionally good. 6 innings. 2 hits, 2 runs, they were unearned, 7 strikeouts to earn his first victory as a Padres pitcher. And he had the kind of stuff that you see from guys who flirt with no-hitters.
Yeah.
Didn't end up getting one. Obviously, the error on Ha-Sung Kim that extended the fourth inning and led to the Michael Bush home run. Part of that's on Dylan Cease. You know, you got to be able to react when something bad happens behind you, but the offense then completely picked up Ha-Sung Kim and Dylan Cease and responded by retaking the lead and never relinquishing it as the Padres went on to that 10-2 win. But Dylan Cease, I think filthy was the word that Mike Shildt used after the game.
He was absolutely filthy. It's weird for me to look down in a guy in a San Diego Padres uniform that's touching 99.6 miles an hour and averaging 97 miles an hour on his fastball. His breaking stuff was sharp. He was nasty. He mixed it up so well yesterday and throwing a cutter now too. And I mean, he's got a really good arsenal. In fact, I watched that game yesterday and went, God, I would have liked to have seen him against the Dodgers and see what he can do. And he'll get his chance. There's no doubt about it. He will get his chance against the Dodgers. But he was filthy.
That's the kind of game you went and got him for.
100%. And he
not a must win, but you wanted to win that series.
Yeah, he was great. He was phenomenal yesterday. And the offense picking up Ha-Sung Kim. That's what good teams do. An error shouldn't end your day. It just shouldn't end your day. And it felt like it Kimmy was real upset. You could tell, kind of slumped his shoulders, put his head down. Dylan gives up the home run. You know, Dylan knows that's on him. He's got to make a better pitch there. But he also knows, man, I should have been out of that inning. The umpire also butchered a strike three, but that's beside
right
the point.
Right before the home run.
You still
got the knees, lit up, did not get the call, and the next pitch was the two-run home run.
You still got to make a pitch, but they came out, and they punched right back. And that was encouraging. It was encouraging, and for every part of 2023, the 2023 Padres, we still see in this team a little bit from time to time. There is some new that's kind of adding on, Ben, and starting to maybe push some of that aside. Now, again, I wish that I, as a fan, and I'm not speaking for everyone, I wish that I, as a fan, could judge just a series, you know, just say, well, but we can't really do that in this job. Say, let's talk about it after the series is over and react. That's really how you have to do it. Like Mike Schilt just said, you got to take it series by series. How did this series look? Well, two of our starting pitchers were terrible. One of them was really brilliant. How was our defense? Our defense wasn't that great. Okay, how was our offense? Our offense responded. We scored some runs.
I like the fact we were able to manufacture early.
Yes, I like that, Mike Schilt. I like that a lot.
I like the way the game was played.
Thank you. Put him in the queue. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they go in and pick up Kimmy when he's clearly scuffling right now.
A little credit as well. Dylan Cease already came to the Padres as a polished product and an ace from the White Sox, but he's added that pitch officially, that sweeper's in there, and give Ruben Nieblas some credit for maximizing Dylan Cease here early in the season. He even threw he calls it his palate cleanser, 60,
his
like
troll ball,
3-mile-an-hour changeup. Yes, his troll ball, not something that you're trying to get anyone out with necessarily, just trying to like throw another seed of doubt into the mind of the hitter as to is there any chance that he's going to throw this to me right here. And if you're thinking that, then you're probably not thinking about what you need to be thinking about. Here comes a nasty fastball or a knuckle curve or a sweeper or something else from Dylan Cease that will get you out. So.
And you'd be massively remiss to not mention the day that Jerickson Profar had. 3-for-3, home run, double, 2 runs scored.
Our beloved.
3 ribs for Jerickson Profar, who loves playing here, thrives whilst in San Diego, plays so far above, you know, his career numbers when he plays here.
Oh, he's not a career 1,012 OPS
right
guy? Okay.
It is awesome to see. It's awesome. There's something about playing for the San Diego Padres that Jerickson Profar really loves. Now, you know, guys with track records, good, bad, middle, whatever, they usually regress to the mean. But for Jerickson, you just ride this wave with him for as long as you can. And, I saw a lot of people yesterday saying, you know, we don't need another bat. No, we still need another bat. I don't know.
We need another arm.
I don't know that his hot streak started the season. I don't know that it'll continue. It's pretty torrid right now. But, I mean, he's getting extra base hits. He's slugging on a team with very little slug right now. That's what you're paying that guy $1 million. Can we give him a raise? Because he absolutely deserves one for the first.
Well, he had some incentives in his deal.
He does.
Which, if he continues to play like this, he's going to need all of them, which I don't know. I assume that impacts your luxury tax level as well. Met incentives will count against the luxury tax. So, you know, all these things that A.J. Preller probably has to think about is he's considering whether or not to sign another bat. Saw some people, you don't need Tommy Pham now. You've got a starting left fielder. And I wouldn't take Jerickson Profar out of the lineup, that's for sure.
No.
Now, you still need another bat, though. And it could be Tommy Pham. You need a designated hitter when Manny gets back into the field. But it could also be Brandon Belt if you're feeling good about Jerickson Profar in the outfield,
yep,
then you don't have to necessarily make it an outfielder for that next bat, which gives you more flexibility with the way Jerickson has played so far this year.
He's been great, and I'm already seeing it in the chat. You're not moving Xander Bogaerts back to short, I don't think. I don't think that's something that you do. And I think all that does is shatter the confidence. I think you've committed to this move. Look, Ha-Sung Kim.
This is not an experiment.
It's not an experiment.
Kim at,
no.
At short.
He's not some.
The experiment's actually Xander at second.
Yes. Correct.
And that's gone pretty well so far, actually.
It's been fine.
Yeah,
it's been fine. You don't knee-jerk this thing, though.
No.
And slide Xander back. Now, if Kim needs a day off, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Put Xander at short, right? He has the ability to do that. But I don't think you knee-jerk it a couple weeks into the season. Ha-Sung Kim is the better defender. I know that he's booting it right now. I know that he's a little bit yippy right now. He is the better defender. There's no doubt about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And that's not an eye
it's
test
It's not
thing.
Up for debate.
He's
a better defender.
That's a 3 years of metrics, seeing what he's done. He's played an awful lot of shortstop during his time here with the Padres. Everybody in baseball who knows baseball will just agree. And it's not a knock on Xander.
Not at
it's
all.
Simply... Ha-Sung Kim is the better defender. Now, just like great offensive players will have a slump, great defensive players will sometimes go through a bit of a slump. And clearly, Ha-Sung Kim is just, as you said, a little yippy.
A little yippy.
You know, had one bad throw that turned into another throw. Mike Schilt actually, he said, I don't want to make excuses, and then proceeded to make about seven of them on the Ha-Sung Kim error yesterday. Well, there's the shadows. I think it hit a seam. It was 109 miles an hour. It took a weird hop. That was not an easy play.
Right.
I think he's in a good place defensively. You know, listen, the one ball just got away from him, happens periodically. The other one was kind of a weird play. He's trying to come in and catch the ball and tag him before the guy scores. And, you know, so I don't really... You know, think too much about that one relative to, like, defense. And today that ball was hit with some pace, and it was like that second hop. It kind of maybe, I don't know if it had a seam. I don't know. He would maybe tell you, but it just kind of kicked a little bit on him. I don't know. I don't want to make excuses for him, but that was a tricky play. Ball hit hard. Got, you know, some of the shade taking place, the shadows. And then it, like, looks like it took, like, a different hop. And sometimes that second hop will kick on you a little bit. So, anyway. I have zero concern about Ha-Sung Kim defensively.
Because of the position of the moon and the eclipse earlier in the week, that may have affected the gravitational pull on that baseball. Really, you can't really charge Ha-Sung Kim with an error, at least a meaningful error there.
No, he's going to be fine at short. I still feel confident putting him out there. And look, that game, had we not come back and picked him up, which is, again, what a good team does, it would have sucked. It would have sucked, and it would have been the second game in about 5 days that, you know, you feel like could have gone different if Ha-Sung Kim makes a play. But it's so hard for me to bag on that guy. It really is. Like, I know he's struggling with the bat. I know he's struggling with the glove. Why are you defending a guy that's struggling with the bat and the glove? Because I watch him play every day, and I know how much he cares. Now, if he was Cadillac-ing it and he looked like he didn't give an F, I'd have a bigger problem with it. He's good. He's going to be fine. Like, he has gotten better every single year since he's been here. That's all you can ask from a player. And I just, the knee-jerk of, oh, just move Xander back to short. No, they move Xander off short for a reason. Why? Because Ha-Sung Kim's a better shortstop. And I think he's going to get it figured out. If I'm wrong, I'll wear it. I don't care. I mean, I think it's a pretty safe bet. You know, you put your best defender there. He's just having a bad stretch right now.
By the way, still went 2-for-4,
right,
had a triple, stole his fourth base of the season, got some praise from Mike Schilt for the heads-up stolen base that did lead immediately to Jackson Merrill's RBI fielder's choice ground out. That's a stolen run, essentially, for the San Diego Padres.
Yep.
So even when he's not playing well, you feel like Ha-Sung Kim is still doing some things that are hopefully helping your team win. But, yeah, good production. Manny definitely looks like he's coming back into being Manny again. The swings that he's taken, another two hits yesterday.
4 for his last 9.
Yeah, it's just the last couple of games he's definitely looked more Manny-like for sure.
Yeah, no question. And we need that. And we need that this series, you know, going up to L.A. against the Dodgers. Manny, we need Manny. We need our cleanup hitter to clean up. And just really encouraged by a couple of the guys on the squad, obviously Jerks and Profar. That little lineup flip has been pretty good for him. Jay Cronenworth continues to
It's amazing
to
how
be
that
great.
Can happen.
Yeah.
Just a little tweak in the lineup.
Yep. And so I think you ride with that. And, you know, again, I think Adam Jones said it yesterday. Once Manny gets back to third, feels like he can contribute in other ways, I think it's going to be beneficial to him. So, again, tread water. That's kind of what we're doing right now. Still still interested in them adding another piece, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about it on the roundtable today, too, and probably more on this show.
All right, we'll come back. Got a couple more thoughts on the game from yesterday, including a statistical, I think, oddity that I'm not sure how rare this is, but something that was pulled off by one of the Padres yesterday. And then we'll play a little real or fake, chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas, all coming up in our next segment, hour number two of Ben and Woods on the way. Next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.